Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tianlu, coming up in this edition. Turkey has imposed trade restrictions on Israel after the Jewish state refused to allow Turkish aid into Gaza. At least 42 people have been killed after a vessel carrying migrants capsized off the Djibouti coast. And the Arizona Supreme Court in the U.S. has ruled that a 160-year-old law banning almost all abortions can be enforced in the state. We begin with the Middle East. Tensions between Turkey and Israel are rising over the Gaza conflict. Ankara has imposed a range of trade restrictions against Israel. These measures are a direct response to Israel's refusal to allow Turkish aid to Gaza, heightening the diplomatic standoff between the two nations. Mihail Bardovit reports from Istanbul.
On Tuesday, Ankara announced that Turkey had implemented restrictions on exporting a variety of products to Israel, including steel, fertilizer and jet fuel. The move comes a day after Israel turned down Turkey's offer to contribute to a humanitarian aid operation for Gaza with its Air Force cargo planes. Despite aid being delivered by other nations, including the United States, the Netherlands and France. The Turkish Trade Ministry published a list of 54 categories that the restriction applies to.
These measures, which were approved by our Honorable President, will be implemented step by step without delay. These measures will be shared with our public by our related institutions. These measures will remain in place until Israel declares a ceasefire and allows the unhindered access of humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Turkey and Israel both withdrew their ambassadors shortly after the Israel-Hamas war began, but Ankara has so far refused to cut trade ties with Israel despite pressure from mostly AK Party's conservative base. Pro-Palestinian protests have been taking place in several cities across the country. Meanwhile, the Israeli foreign minister accused Turkey of unilaterally violating its trade agreements with Israel. He stated that Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was sacrificing the economic interests of the people of Turkey in order to support Hamas. He also added that Israel would be responding with its own measures.
That was Mihail Bardovit in Istanbul. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has doubled down on a planned offensive in the southern Gazan city of Rafah, saying a date has been set despite international pressure. In Cairo, Hamas has rejected Israel's ceasefire proposal, but says it will review the proposal further. Israeli airstrikes continued across Gaza on Tuesday. 14 people, including children and women in one home, were killed. Associated Press correspondent Sam Menick reports from Jerusalem.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not buckling, either under pressure for him to resign or for him not to go into Rafah. For the second day in a row, he doubled down, saying that a date was set to go into Rafah and that no amount of force could stop him. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that the United States has not been given a date from Israel. However, the two are in regular contact, and they have told them that whatever military operation they are planning, that they must ensure to mitigate civilian casualties. There are about 1.5 million people sheltering in Rafah, and it's unclear where they're supposed to go. Much of Gaza has been reduced to rubble. I've spoken to many people in Rafah. They say that they know of this looming offensive, and they are terrified that they don't know where they're supposed to go when it happens. In addition to the threats of Rafah, there's continued violence going on all across Gaza. The death toll has surpassed 33,000 people since the beginning of the war.
Now, Sam Menick with the Associated Press. In Europe, Russia says Ukraine attacked the Zaporizhia nuclear plant with a drone on Tuesday, the third day of strikes on the plant. Ukrainian officials have denied any involvement in the attacks. The International Atomic Energy Agency says the drone strikes endangered safety at the nuclear plant, which is Europe's largest. The IAEA will meet on Thursday to discuss the incidents. Meanwhile, Ukraine says it has destroyed 20 drones launched by Russia overnight. Megumi Lim has more from Kyiv.
These recent drone strikes against the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant has endangered the safety of this nuclear power facility. Its safety has been the source of great concern for the IAEA, which is the UN's atomic watchdog agency. And also, we still do not know who was behind the attacks. Russia and Ukraine has been directing blame at each other, and both sides have been denying any involvement in the attacks. Now, this is Europe's largest nuclear power plant, which is located on the east bank of the Dnipro River, very, very close to the front lines, which means that it is often caught in the crosshairs of the ongoing fighting between Russian and Ukrainian forces. We have also seen independent news outlets document a campaign of intimidation directed at the Ukrainian employees there working under Russian occupation, as this power plant is currently under Russian control. And we've also seen reports from UN inspectors saying that they've found landmines being installed on the perimeters of this plant. Now, all but one of the reactors are in a cold shutdown, which means that one of the reactors are only partially offline. But the good news is that the nuclear containment structures of this nuclear power plant are made of steel-lined reinforced concrete designed to withstand the impact of a small plane crash. So it is indeed made up of very sturdy material. Ukraine's Air Force said that it had shot down 20 Shahed-type drones launched by Russia overnight. Said that it shot down these drones over regions all across Ukraine, including the southern Mykolaiv and Odessa regions, and also the western Lviv regions. And although all 20 drones were shot down, there were reports that drone fragments fell and cut a power line reportedly in the Odessa region. But Russian forces have been intensifying their attacks against Ukraine's energy infrastructure over the past few weeks. They have said that Ukraine's energy infrastructure is a legitimate military target, and the attacks have been carried out in retaliation for recent attacks carried out by Ukrainian forces against its Russia's border regions. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has again appealed to Ukraine's Western allies for more air defense systems. He said that Ukraine can cope with the current stockpile that they have, but they are already having to make very difficult choices about what to prioritize and what to protect.
That was Magumi Lim on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. In Africa, several dozen migrants are feared dead after their boat capsized off the coast of Djibouti. It's the latest in a string of incidents along what the International Organization for Migration refers to as the Eastern Route. Daniel Arapmoy has more from Djibouti.
The Red Crescent Djibouti says at least 42 migrants have died off the coast of Djibouti. They were among a group of approximately 60 people, many of whom were Yemeni refugees who were being smuggled in an overcrowded vessel en route to the Arabian Peninsula. According to the Red Crescent, Djibouti, it's an all-too-familiar story.
They were mainly migrants and trying to cross the Red Sea, Bab el-Mandeb, to reach Gulf countries looking for better opportunities.
It's the latest in a string of calamities linked to irregular migration that have occurred on Djibouti's Red Sea coast area over the years.
This is not the first time. This is something that's happening for a decade. And everybody, local authorities, humanitarians are trying to encourage legal migration. But unfortunately, there are some people who are not listening or not applying instructions and taking the risk.
Now, hundreds of desperate migrants continue to attempt to cross the dangerous Red Sea route, hoping to reach the Middle East via war-torn Yemen.
That was Daniel Arapmoy reporting from Djibouti. In North America, a day after Donald Trump said U.S. abortion rights should be left up to states to decide, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled over future abortion access for that state. It's led to a near-total abortion ban, the biggest bombshell ruling since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Tony Waterman reports.
Arizona had two competing abortion bans on the books, one from back in 1864, outlawing the procedure except when a mother's life is in danger, and a 2022 law which banned abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The 4-2 ruling by the justices, all of whom were appointed by Republicans, say the 160-year-old law supersedes the newer one, a law that came into effect long before women even had the right to vote and before Arizona was even a state. Now, the ban will take effect in 14 days, which could shutter all abortion clinics across the state. The big unknown at this point is how this law will be enforced. Arizona's Attorney General, Democrat Chris Mays, would be in charge of that, but she has already pledged not to enforce any abortion bans and has called this ruling unconscionable and an affront to freedom. Arizona's Democratic Governor, Katie Hobbs, has also issued an executive order banning county attorneys from prosecuting abortion cases.
We are 14 days away from this extreme ban coming back to life. It must be repealed immediately. And while I'm glad IVF and contraception are still available to Arizonans, we know they are under attack.
This decision has the potential to impact November's elections. Arizona is a major battleground state, and polling shows that abortion is a top issue for voters and could motivate more Democratic-leaning voters to show up on Election Day. This, as abortion rights groups say that they've separately secured enough signatures for a way out of this resurrected law, a ballot measure asking voters to amend the state's constitution to protect abortion access up to the point of viability, which is generally considered to be about 24 weeks. President Joe Biden said Tuesday's ruling was the result of the extreme Republican agenda and officials committed to ripping away women's freedom. Meanwhile, on Monday, former President Donald Trump rejected the idea of a national abortion ban, saying that decision should be left up to the states, a move that critics on both sides see as purely political because poll after poll finds that roughly 60% of Americans support abortion access. Arizona is now among 14 other states to implement near total bans on abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade 2 years ago.
That was Tony Waterman reporting. Recapping today's headlines. Turkey has imposed trade restrictions on Israel after Israel refused to allow Turkish aid into Gaza. At least 42 people have been killed after a vessel carrying migrants capsized off Djibouti coast. And in the United States, the Arizona Supreme Court has ruled a 160-year-old law banning almost all abortions can be enforced in the state. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.